Hello and welcome to the first of our podcasts for Georgian Britain. This is going to be a summary of the lecture by Mark Knights on the 17th century revolutions and their 18th century legacy. And the fundamental point for this lecture is that the 17th century provided a source of conflict and ideas that were debated and argued over in the 18th century, and that it provided rival versions of Britain's history that were available in the 18th century and could be applied to the problems of the 18th century, and were indeed self-consciously applied by people in the 18th century to their current issues. There were two revolutions in the 17th century which have an enduring impact on British culture, and indeed one can argue that the 18th century Georgian Britain worked through many of the repercussions and issues and problems caused by those two 17th century revolutions. So, very briefly, I'm going to outline some of the key contours of those revolutions and then talk about the way in which their legacy endured into the 18th century. The first revolution was that which occurred between 1642 and 1660, the so-called revolution, or as Edward Hyde, Earl of Clarendon, put it in his history, the Great Rebellion of the mid-17th century. This was caused in part by a long-term Reformation process. And rather than seeing the Reformation as a purely 16th century phenomena, we might, for our purposes of the 18th century, rethink it as a long-term Reformation process which lasted through the 16th, into the 17th, into the 18th century, and according to Jonathan Clarke, was not actually finally resolved until the 1820s. Why was religion so important for that first revolution? Well, some historians now call it a war of religion, a war between Puritans who wanted to see that Reformation ongoing and advanced, and those who resisted such calls, were hostile to such calls, and who may even have wanted to turn the tide back on some of the advances of the Reformation and to consolidate Protestantism rather than continuing its advance. The Revolution of 1642 was also caused in part by constitutional tensions within the Stuart state between Parliament and King, and structural problems within the state about the position of voluntary office holders. And again, that's an enduring tension into the 18th century, although the Glorious Revolution, which I'll talk about in just a moment, attempts to resolve some of those issues. The relationship between monarchy and parliament remains a central one throughout the period that we're going to be studying. And thirdly, I suppose the revolution of 1642 is also a British revolution, as Conrad Russell has increasingly reminded us. It's a revolution which is sparked by problems between England and Scotland, and also between England and Ireland. And it's the defeat of the English army by the Scots in 1637 and 1639, sorry, and then the Irish rebellions in 1641, which go a long way to providing the triggers to revolution in 1642. Well, what were some of the features of that revolution, and how did they impact on the 18th century? One of the enduring legacies is that in 1649, the King of England, Charles I, was executed, and a Commonwealth, or a Republic, was created, at a stroke providing a republican ideology and a doctrine, an ideology which justified popular resistance and even popular sovereignty. And that ideology was to be available and to be invoked very frequently in the 18th century. It also created social radicalism through the abolition of the House of Lords, but also the Leveller movement, which was both a political, religious, but also a social reforming movement, which sought to give greater say for those with smaller amounts of property and to give them political representation. And again, that social levelling legacy is important in the 18th century and was often appealed to. The mid-17th century revolution is also one which sees the destruction of the Church of England as it had previously been known, its replacement by a Presbyterian form of government, and the birth of sectarianism. So it marks the end of religious unity and religious uniformity. And the aftermath of that is very much on the agenda in the 18th century, which has to work through this religious pluralism that was in part created by the mid-17th century revolution. That revolution created a divided society, one which was deeply riven by two forces which had gone to war against one another. And the long-term implications and legacy of that division are very important. They're not healed quickly, and many in the early 18th century see themselves in some way or another as heirs to one of those sides. The second revolution of the 17th century, the Glorious Revolution, was perhaps the one that was most commonly invoked in the 18th century. Like the First Revolution of 1642, it was also triggered by fears of the arbitrary power, the absolute powers being exercised by the monarch over Parliament. And as with the Irish Rebellion of 1641, sparking a fear of popery and the possible influx of papists from Ireland who might massacre Protestants, so fear of popery also characterized that second revolution. Perhaps a new factor was the European context, which dictated William of Orange's invasion from Holland in order to mobilize English resources against his long-term fight against France. So the legacy of that revolution is that Britain emerges onto the European stage, and indeed the global stage, in a major way. It is also a revolution which establishes a different type of monarchy, one which has to work with Parliament in more specific ways than had been the case before. It's a revolution which has a slogan, Liberty and Property, which echoes throughout the 18th century. And it's a revolution which claims to have created a balanced constitution between Parliament and King. And the 18th century saw itself as the inheritor of that balanced constitution and sought to try and preserve it. However, the British identity that emerged in the 18th century was one which was shaped by contested versions of that 17th century past. Versions which were put forward in the press, in histories of the period,